Well, hey, I just want to say thank you to Michelle for the last 2 weeks on worship. I mean, yeah, did a great, phenomenal job. I really enjoyed the teaching. And I'm a data freak. I'm a curious guy. And so all the stats and the data she gave last week and the research, I was like, yeah, you go, Michelle. That's awesome. So I think Worship Sunday was phenomenal. I mean, yeah. So we're gonna say it was y'all that were here last week listening to her message, wanting to get wiser, right? And have more of that oxytocin and all the stuff that she talked about. And so it really was great. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for doing that, Michelle. So one of the things that, okay, I'm going to take just a second. So one of the things she talked about was brain health and the things that worship does for us. So I'm a subscriber to the center, I think it's called the Center for Brain Health. It's actually at the University of Texas at Dallas, but it's actually down on Mockingbird, I believe. And so they do a lot of brain health seminars and things like that that you can attend virtually and attend even in person to some degree. And so that fit right in with, I just love going to some of those seminars and even watching replays of them. And so I love that she talked about that. And one of the things that really stood out to me, and so this is maybe one of my behold moments, because you'll have the chance to do this here in a moment, right? One of the studies showed that just 7 minutes of worship every morning doesn't only change our mood and our emotions, but it also makes us smarter. What in the world? Makes us wiser, right? And on top of that, when we worship with others, it brings us deeper into community, deeper into friendship with others. And so when she was talking about that, and I am going to get those links from her because I want to go read more of the studies too. So because I'm a learning geek. I love learning. So sometimes to the detriment of actually doing anything with it. So sometimes you can learn too much. In fact, I had previous pastor before we came to Grace Point Church said sometimes you just got to put books down and put stuff into action. Quit learning and put it into action. And so that's probably, I tend to go to that side sometimes probably. So, okay, before we get started with tonight, who has some things they want to share from their Behold journals? No, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Who has one thing they want to share from their Behold journal or something they've put down or caught their attention the last couple of weeks? I know there's a few. I'm going to wait. Pastor's taught me nothing but patience. No, he's taught me a whole lot. I'm sorry. That sounded bad. He's taught me patience and a whole lot of other stuff, too. So I know you're a little out of practice. Miss Pat has one, yes.
Actually, I was just telling Marintha that, you know, life is like we're always waiting. But unless you know what you're waiting for, your waiting is kind of wasted, and we all need to be waiting on Jesus to talk to us and tell us where to go.
Waiting on direction from the Lord. Yeah. And sensitive to that direction, right? Okay, who else? I'm looking around. Okay, well, I'm going to give it just one more moment, but okay, I thought you were waving me over here.
Okay, so I have scripture from Joel 2:31 and 32a. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen. Well, thank you. Well, forewarn, you got to have double the people next week, okay? Double of people, bring your journal. I will admit, I forgot my Behold journal too. I left it in my backpack at home, so I can't even share anything out of mine. Okay, well, tonight I want to talk to you about the importance of beholding the Word of God, and that's really the name of the message tonight, Behold the Word of God. I think I'm starting to realize, and you would think I would have known this before now, but I'm starting to realize the importance of just getting the word in us in multiple ways. And so before we dive in too much, this bookmark that you have is actually a saying, and Michelle said a couple of things last week, and I meant to write it down, and I didn't, about her Bible, right, about what she says before the Bible. This is something Rebecca and I used to say a lot, and many churches around the country do it. You may have heard of it in other places and in other scenarios, but it is going to be on the screen, and so we're going to say it together. And I should have my Bible, and I forgot that too. So good thing I have all my notes in my paper. So I blame my first week back. So, okay, so here we go. And we're going to say it all together. Actually, if you have your Bible, whether it's a phone, whether it's an app, whether it's the Bible into your chair, stand up, please. We're going to give us some energy. Thank you, Andrea. Okay, and I will. My scripture is coming out of my notes this morning, so I'm going to do that here. I mean, this evening. So, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Today, I'll be taught the Word of God, and I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same again. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for indulging me with that. You know, so often, we pick up the Bible as another book, right? We're reading another chapter in a book that we just happen to be reading every day, possibly, or at least several times a week, at the least. And sometimes our attitude reflects that. Sometimes our energy reflects that also. And so one of the reasons we printed these bookmarks, kind of like Michelle said a week ago or 2 weeks ago, is to hold the Bible in a reverence, in an awe. Behold the Word of God, right? Beholding the Word of God, because the Word of God is God, as we're told. And so the truth is I haven't always valued my time in God's Word. There were many times, in fact, I was sitting in one of these chairs probably about 9 years ago when Pastor was teaching on a Bible study method called SOAP. And I was just reading the Bible like a history book, honestly, at the time. It was dry. I wasn't getting much out of it. And he introduced me to the SOAP method, many of us in that moment, not just me. So SOAP, I'm not going to introduce it or talk to you about it tonight, but it's Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. Just look up SOAP Bible Study, like you wash with soap all over. SOAP Bible Study Method. You can Google it. It'll tell you all you need to know. And that worked for me for many years. And I do it kind of informally now. I don't have to write S, scripture, and then write my scripture out. And I don't have to write O to remind me. It's more informal now. But I did that for 4 or 5 years. That helped me get through just reading the Bible as a history book, honestly, and get through that dry time. And so I'm learning, and it's sad to say that it's taken me this long, but I'm learning there's nothing more valuable than the Word of God. Nothing more worthy of my time than spending time with God through the Word, and of course in prayer. And do you know, when you're spending time in the Word, we are spending time with God. We're not just reading a book. There was a time when it was just a check on my list of things that I needed to do that morning. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus, and also God. And this verse really establishes Jesus and God as one person, and we can take that a lot further and get into the Holy Spirit and talk about the triune God, but this verse is really establishing Jesus and God as the same person. And so we're not going to go into the triune and the Spirit and all of that and how they all fit into the Trinity, because tonight's about the Word of God. But this verse really introduces that. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so when we're reading the Word of God, it's going to teach us, right? It's going to rebuke us. It's going to correct us through God's Holy Spirit. It's going to train us in righteousness so that the servant of God, that's you and I, may be thoroughly equipped, not just equipped, but thoroughly equipped for every good work that he's calling us to do. And so this next verse we've talked a little bit about before in the Behold series, but specifically we talked about the verse after this, the verse before this in the context of prayer. But Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when we're going into battle, right, helmets are essential, especially back in David's time, any time in the Bible. Even now, right, our armies wear helmets. Helmets are essential because we know if we get attacked and something happens to our head, we're done. And so soldiers knew one hit to the head could mean disaster. And so Paul associates here this helmet in the armor of God that he's talking about in this section of Ephesians with salvation. And salvation, first and foremost, when people went into battle, when warriors went into battle, they would put on their helmet first because they knew how essential it was. And Paul's talking about this in the context of salvation because he knew and knows and wants us to know that ultimately the best protection against Satan is salvation. Since nothing, Romans tells us, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And so in addition, Paul mentions the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And again, that's still Ephesians 6:17. And so this is the first offensive weapon mentioned in the armor of God. And so when they talk about the sword of the Spirit, you know, at that time, the sword was used to kill and defeat enemies during attack. And in the same way, God's word helps to defeat our enemies' spiritual attacks. We've got to know the word to do battle. And so during the temptations of Jesus by Satan, right, in Matthew 4, on all three occasions, he overcomes those with the word of God. And so those who study and know scripture can best strike back, right? Go on the offensive against the enemy by knowing the word of God. That's against temptation. That's against all the things, the challenges, the cultural things that come against us, the sayings, the friends that put us down, that try to drag us down with them or try to get us into a negative place, emotions that sometimes lie to us, right? We've got to know the word to be able to strike back against them. So Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Greek word translated sword is maharan. I'm going to spell that because I don't have it on the thing for you. It's M-A-C-H-A-I-R-A-N, maharan. And it's often used generically for a sword or a dagger. So when we think of sword, we think of King Charles. That's not right. King Arthur. Sorry. I don't know why I was drawing a blank on that. King Arthur, right? And the Knights of the Round Table with like the 5-foot-long swords that are 40 pounds. And you start swinging them around. I mean, if you and I were to start swinging them around, we'd go around 4 or 5 times. Right? And so when we hear the sword of the Spirit, we can think about that in that context. But this word, maharan, is often used generically as more of a dagger. The same word is used to describe the blade that Peter wielded in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? We don't think of a big old huge sword that he pulled. Peter was a fisherman, right? And so think about a fillet knife and how sharp fillet knives are, right? A little 6-inch, 12-inch blade, whatever. Sharp enough to cut somebody's ear off really quickly without doing much more damage, right? If you do that with a sword, you're going to do a lot more damage to somebody than just cut somebody's ears off if you're using a big sword. But a smaller dagger, very sharp, very quick, very easy to cut somebody's ear off. So Peter's weapon was probably less of a soldier's sword than what we think, and more like a large fisherman's knife. In fact, fisherman's maharan, because that's used the same way in many capacities, primarily meant for cutting flesh, unlike the true military swords, which were tougher, but also not as sharp. So Hebrews 4:12 again, but in the Amplified Version, and I'm just going to read it again. but in the Amplified version. For the word of God is living and active and full of power. We're talking about the word of God, the very word of God, the God-breathed instructions to us. It's active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit. In other words, the completeness of who we are, the completeness of me, between sword and soul and spirit, and of both joints and marrow, right? The deepest parts of our nature. The original words for joints and marrow, really think about the bones and then the tendons and the muscles, right? Think about a knife that can go in there and separate those without harming any of those. That's what we're talking about here. And of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. So whether we're talking about the warrior's sword or the fisherman's knife, right? Whichever of those we're talking about, this perspective makes the metaphor of this verse all the more vivid. The sword is said to separate the joints and marrows, like I talked about, the tendons, ligaments, and other meaty parts of whatever it's being used against, without destroying the other parts, much like a fillet knife that we use today. In the same way, the word of God can even separate the spiritual things that we're going through. So many things, right? You think of muscles and ligaments and bones and all those things. They're all intertwined in our body. The same thing can be done spiritually. The same thing is done spiritually. They're all intertwined through us, our emotions, the way we've grown up, the influences of the people that have raised us, the people around us, our colleagues, our friends, our families. All of these things are intertwined in us. So our soul and our spirit and the word of God can help separate the spiritual things from the things that are not of God. And a lot of times it's not necessarily meant as literal, but the Bible often uses these terms interchangeably. And so it's really talking about how God's word can distinguish between the godly and the ungodly. Right? Discernment. What we're going through. And so discernment, when we're seeking God to make a decision, we've got to have God's heart. We've got to have God's character. We've got to have the wisdom of God to help us discern whether it's godly or ungodly, whether it's God speaking to us or the desires of our heart, the desires of our flesh, the desires of the world or our friends or our family. And so that's one of the things we're talking about here. And so it's this incredible cutting power of Scripture that's a tool to separate our very thoughts into good and evil, if you will, godly and ungodly. So the Bible provides everything we need to know the difference between selfless spiritual deeds and acts which are actually selfish and even ungodly, possibly. And so in this verse, Hebrews 4:12, we're reminded that the word of God gives us all the power we need to learn the true will of God. Colossians 3:16, which I know Michelle mentioned, I think it was last week or definitely one of the weeks, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ, let the word of God dwell in us richly, teaching us and admonishing us, right? To let the word dwell in us, we've got to know it. We've got to know it. And to use the word like a sword, we've got to know it. We can't do battle if the word is not inside of us. We can't use it as a sword if we don't know it. And so I know what I'm saying is not easy, and it's not done in 3 months. It's not a cram course that we can take, right, and cram and know it and be good. It's we're ever increasing. I can't remember the verse, but Rebecca and I have a verse, and I should have it memorized, but I don't. It mentions just ever increasing. We use it as are we growing in our faith? Are we growing in our actions? Are we growing in our love? Are we ever increasing? Are we doing better today than we were doing yesterday? And I think the same is true for the Word of God. That doesn't mean I have to memorize one verse today and one verse tomorrow. Although if you can do that, then more power to you, because we should be doing that. But to let the Word dwell in us, we have to know it. And to use the Word like the sword, we have to know it also. Warfare requires preparation, folks. We're talking about the armor of God, Paul was. And warfare, which is what we're doing when the enemy attacks. We don't call it that in our everyday lives. Many of us probably don't even think that in our everyday lives. We don't think we're being attacked and I need to go into warrior mode. We think, man, I feel so bad today, or I'm emotionally, I'm just not feeling well. And sometimes there are physical issues. We get that, right? But many times it can just be a spiritual attack that we just don't recognize, maybe because we don't have the Word in us, or maybe because we're too weak from fighting a battle alone, because we're not in a community of loving people that come alongside us and help show us where warfare is happening, where the enemy is attacking, help reflect, right? We're meant to be images, mirrors of Christ, especially to each other. So when we're in community, that happens a lot more. We don't go into war unprepared. We don't go into battle unprepared. So why do we go into spiritual battles unprepared? We don't know the Word of God. We go in with a lackluster knowledge of the Word of God. And I'm preaching to myself here. I'll be honest, I am in a group of about 8 or 9 people right now that we're reading the Bible chronologically. Through the YouVersion app, by the way, if you've got that, raise your hand. If you're using the Bible app and going through any of the plans that the church is suggesting or something else, if you haven't got it, I would urge you to check it out. The Bible app, you might be called YouVersion on some phones or some app stores. We're going through a chronological reading of the Bible in 1 year. It's the first time I've done it. But man, there are things that are popping up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've heard this story forever, but I didn't understand it in the context of what happened a book earlier. Not just a chapter earlier, but even a book earlier. And that's knowing the Word of God. That's seeing how the God story plays out from creation until the time He returns. Right? And that's why it's important to know the Word of God, because we can hear these stories and they can be inspirational. Right? We can hear a 5-minute speech, a 5-minute sermon, a 30-second clip on TikTok about this David story, and it inspires us, it encourages us, it strengthens us in the moment, and it energizes us in the moment, but it's not protein. It's not going to build muscle. It's not going to sustain us. It may do something for us in 10 minutes or for 30 minutes or maybe even for the evening, but it's not a steak and potato meal. It's not going to feed us and feed our body and nourish us to the point of helping us grow in Christ. It might help us to get through something, right? It may help us to bring a little bit of joy. It may help bring a little bit of emotion, a little bit of happiness, even a little bit of encouragement to explore that story a little bit more. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be partaking in those things, because we all need encouragement in three-minute doses or 30-second doses even sometimes. But don't do that in lieu of getting in the Word of God. So many times we get in the Word of God because it's what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm a good Christian. If I want to be a good Christian, I've got to read the Word of God. So I do it. But I'm also thinking about the 5 things that I have to do 8 minutes down the road. Or we're listening to it and driving in DFW traffic. And just as Jesus James mentioned, we flip the guy off in the lane next to us because he cut us off. Okay, I won't go there anymore. To learn to do battle, we must be in the Word of God. My experiences, my emotions, they respond to the Word of God. Just like Michelle was saying last week, our bodies physiologically respond to the Word of God, respond to hymns and psalms and praises. Our body's physiological know what God made us for. And it made us for communion with Him, and communion with Him in the Word of God and in the body of Christ. Proverbs 30, 30 verse 5, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Man, Psalms and Proverbs are filled with images of shields and suns, him being our protector and lighting our path, him being our safe place. But sometimes all we think about is our safe place is our bedroom. Go home, shut off the lights so nobody can get to us. Turn off our phones so we don't see all the things attacking us via social media. Sometimes that's the only thing we think of as a safe place. God's word is a safe place. So I wanted to urge you, and I am going to urge you, if you don't have the Bible app, get it. And Bible app, you can use many other apps. I love paper books. When I read books, I read 80% paper books, real books that I hold in my hand. I don't like reading electronically. But I love the Bible app because it helps me focus. I can read the word while I'm listening to the word, right? I can read it while I'm listening to it. So many versions of the Bible. Imagine this. I'm using the ESV version of the Bible right now as we read our chronological. And why am I doing that? Because it has the word behold in it almost 1,000 times. That's my word of the year. That's why I'm using that version. Other versions have more beholds in it. But you know what? I like the New Living Translation better. Why? Because the narrator is more dramatic. He does a better job. I'll be honest. Does better. Plus, in the NLT version, it's dramatized even more because you can have a little soundtrack playing in the background. You know, like the warrior songs when he gets to those warrior parts. So if you haven't tried that, I urge you to, because it is a new experience. Now, I'm not listening to the NLT version this year, unfortunately. And the ESV narrator is not quite as good. But the word of God will not return void. And when I listen to it and read it, my mind wanders a whole lot less. I'm focusing my eyes and my ears on the word of God. So, if you don't have a routine, start with that routine. Chronologically, you know, we spend 15 to 20 minutes a day reading the Bible chronologically in 1 year. That's about all we spend going through that. Now, we spend a little more time in that because we're doing it with 8 or 9 other people. And at the end of that, those chapters, you can also type things that you've learned. And so with these 8 or 9 people that we're doing this with, we're chatting at the same time. Every day's readings, we can type what we've learned or what we got out of it. Or we can say, oh, Mario, hadn't thought about that. Or, hey, Mike, thanks for bringing that deep knowledge from the last 30 years of walking with the Lord or 40 years of walking with the Lord. So we've got people that are new to the Lord that is reading it for the very first time. We've got people who's been reading it for 40 years. And you bring that knowledge together, man, what an impact it can make on your mornings. But it's just 15 to 20 minutes. How can we not spend 15 or 20 minutes? And I'm preaching to myself here. Because there's been many days and many years that I have not spent 15 or 20 minutes a day in the Word of God. And I'm ashamed of that. But God is faithful and just, right? His timing is perfect. And yes, I wish I would have done this 10 years ago. I wish I would have done this 20 years ago. But there's no better time than the present if you haven't done it up to this point. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. That's a lie. I see one other point. When you first open the Bible app, there's something called the daily refresh. It gives you the verse of the day, right? It just gives you the verse of the day. And then there's usually about a 2-minute devotional by somebody, a new speaker, every day. Today was Carlos Whitaker, by the way. He has a really good book out. I can't remember the name of it. Do you? How to Human. He was the speaker today, Carlos Whitaker. Very, very good book. And he's a very good speaker as well. But so he has it's a 2-minute devotional there. And then you can go into a little bit more of a devotional that you read, but you can also add prayer. So you know what? You can add a prayer list. That daily refresh will give you 2 or 3 prayers that you've already added to the prayer list every day. So you know what? When you say you want to pray for somebody, when I say I want to pray for Andrea, I can add it to my prayer list. Guess what? My Bible app's going to remind me. Not every day, But it's going to pop up in there, and it's going to remind me to pray for Andrea. It's going to remind me to pray for my wife. We shouldn't need reminders to pray for our spouses, by the way. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we want to spread the love, right? Pray for other people. So it's a really great way. I don't work for Life Church. Y'all know that. Life Church is the one who runs YouVersion and the Bible app. But they are a very generous church, and they do a fabulous job. So now that really is all I want to say about the Bible app, at least for this section of the night. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Ooh, now we're getting in a little deeper, right? So the NLT says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. How many times do we go to bed saying, I'm going to the gym tomorrow? But we know we're fooling ourselves. Our tennis shoes are back of the closet, under three layers of shoes. We don't even know where the socks are that we use for those shoes. We're fooling ourselves. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. God's going to instruct us. He's going to convict us, not from a place of guilt, but a place of love. He knows what's best for us. So when we're reading the word of God and our heart is pricked, right? Our spirit is pricked like, ooh, that stings just a little bit. It's not because he's slapping us on the wrist with the ruler. It's because he wants what's best for us, and he knows even what we want in our spirit, but we don't know. And so we've got to listen, as Pastor says, listen into the nudge of the spirit, right? We learn to feel that little elbow in our side that says, yeah, this is talking to me, and I need to do something about it. We may not know what that is, honestly. There have been times in my life where I knew I needed to take action, but I wasn't sure. But you know what? That's where other people's wisdom comes in. That's where walking with a community of people comes in. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's showing us the direction that he wants us to go. God's taking us on a journey. When we get in his word, he continues to speak to us. He continues to lead us. He continues to direct us. He's showing us the path, even in the dark, even when it's totally dark outside. Who was outside for the eclipse a week and a half ago? I was pretty amazed at how dark it got. Rebecca and I went out in our front yard. I was pretty amazed at how dark it got. And so it got so dark even that the automatic lights around us in our neighbor's yards came on. God's word will never let it go dark around us. God wants to continually light our path, and he will rescue us when we need it, right? Sometimes he'll just rescue us because we need rescuing, whether we're in his word or not. Sometimes he will supernaturally preempt our path because he knows that we are getting ready to walk off a cliff. There are other times he won't. He knows what's best. I can't tell you why he does sometimes and why he doesn't sometimes. But he does know best, and I trust that. I'm a curious guy. I wish I knew the answers to all the other stuff. And I always say, as soon as I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him all those things. But I also know that's probably a lie, because when I get to heaven, I really won't care. More than likely. I'll just want to be worshiping him in person. I want to know him before I get there. I want to know his heart. I want to know his character. I want to know what he's saying to me in the word of God. I don't know if we're going to get to heaven and the word of God, all 66 books, as if there's not more than that, is going to be revealed to us supernaturally like a download. I don't think that's probably the case. I would imagine we may not have much more knowledge, that doesn't mean we won't go to heaven, but we may not have much more knowledge than we have here on this earth. I don't want to get to heaven and not know my Jesus. And that takes getting in the Word of God. That takes putting the Word of God in us. And I know this has probably come across like a scold, and I don't mean it that way, because honestly, I am getting more joy out of the Word in my life right now than I've ever gotten in my life. I'm sad that it's taken me this long to find this much joy in the Word of God. And I'm sad that I have friends that aren't getting this much joy out of the Word of God. And I'm sad that I haven't talked to my friends about how much joy I'm getting out of the Word of God sometimes. And so there are times where we're feeling lost. They're not even lost. There are times where we're just feeling like we have no direction. We don't know which way to go. We don't have to go anywhere. We can rest in the Word of God. We can rest in God's arms. Dive into the Word. It says He is our lamp to our feet and a light to my path. He wants to hold us, friends. We've talked several times. He wants to behold us. He is beholding us just as we are to behold Him. And so one thing I hope that you get out of tonight is that sometimes we go through dry seasons. Sometimes the Word of God is not coming to life in us and for us. Maybe we just need to try something different. But some of it also is like Michelle talked about. When we're putting ourselves in places, listen, when I went to an event in December, I don't dance before the Lord. Can I just say that? I don't dance before the Lord. You're never going to, no, I'm sorry. I'll never say never, God. You will likely never see me dancing on this altar. But God told me, in that event in December, He said, you need to go up and dance before the Lord. You need to go up and dance before me. Oh man, I was like, I'm a big guy. I don't dance. I don't have any moves. I mean, this is, you know, I'm good. But He told me, you need to go up. How much do you want of me? Am I worth dancing for? Am I worth making a fool of yourself for? So I went up and danced. Probably the second time I've danced before the Lord publicly in my life. I might dance before the Lord with my wife sometimes, but probably not many others. We've got to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. That might be 10 minutes a day for you. It might be 20 minutes a day. And we're not talking about Bible study. We're not talking about diving deep in the Word. We need to be doing that also. But we're just talking about getting the Word of God in you as the story of God from start to finish, whether that's cover to cover, whether it's chronologically, whether it's as a church body, we're doing this quarterly plan together. You know what? Even if you're not in a group of people in the Bible app and you're on the quarterly plan, people are reading that with you. And you can talk to them about it right out here in the hallway. You can talk to them about it in the group. You can talk to them about it in the Facebook group or on Facebook or on Instagram. You can recruit people to go through the Word with you. Just invite them. It says go to invite friends. People that may not even come to church here. Maybe it's just family and friends. Say, hey, are you interested in reading the Word of God with me? I think that's one reason I'm enjoying it so much. This is the first time I've ever read the Bible with a group of people. I mean, yeah, we read it with a group of people here, right, on Sunday morning. But every day, I know, almost every day, that everybody in that group is going to get through it. And if they don't, they're going to get through it in the next day or two or three, probably. And we've lost one or two because they're in other studies and things like that. But knowing you're going to be talking to those people on Sunday and on Wednesday, and that what you said in the chat 2 days ago, you can also converse about in public. Man, it has made a world of difference in my life. A word of difference in my life also, I guess. So I just urge you to get into it. You don't have to have the right plan. You don't even have to go choose the plan. Just pick up your Bible, put your bookmark down because you have one now. When you finish for the day, put it there and then start there the next day. But find somebody to read the Bible with, even if it's online. Okay. I know we each will be totally different people in a month and in 3 months and in a year. This community, it takes the Word of God. It takes God's Spirit working in us and through us and the Spirit of God working in us and through us. He works through His Word. It will change our church. It will change us individually. It will change our community and our state and our nation. But we've got to get people in the Word, and that starts with us. So I just want to urge you, if you're not doing it, do it. Do something. Do 5 minutes tomorrow morning. I know you may have to skip brushing your teeth. It's okay to have bad breath. You may have to take a quicker shower. My wife is the queen of long showers. She doesn't skip her Bible reading to do it, though. Okay, I promise I'm not trying to beat you up. I hope it didn't come across that way. So let's just pray. Father, we just come to you today, and we just ask you for you to speak into our lives, Lord. You show us where we need to be putting our energy, how we need to be reading your word, who we need to be reading your word with, Father, how we need to be putting your word inside of us, Father, because we know it's about getting to know you, God. How are we to draw close to you, Lord? Father, help us to get clear, get direction. Father, give us wisdom. Give us inspiration, Lord. We ask you right now, we open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to you, Father. Show us how important it is to grow in relationship with you and how you want us to do that, God. And some of us, it may be dancing before the Lord every day to worship music. And some of us, it may be getting into the Word daily in deeper, deeper ways than just reading. Father, we're all in different seasons, so help us to discern where we're at. But Father, let us not pass up the plate that you've passed, that you've built for us, that will nourish us, Father. Help us not pass up your word that will nourish us more than any food or drink can, God. Lord, thank you that you've given us this nourishment. Help us find new ways to integrate it into our life and to make it a part of who we are, Lord. We know we won't be perfect at it. We know we won't do it correctly all the time. We know we won't do it as much as we'd like to, Father. Speak to us about that, Father. We know you're going to speak to us lovingly, and thank you for that. And Father, we just lay this all at your feet. We want to do what you're calling us to do. We want to be who you're calling us to be. And Lord, as we leave here tonight, help us to come up with a plan to do that. Help us to put into practice the things you're revealing to us, Father. Help us to put into practice everything you're revealing to us, God. And Father, I just ask you to bless everyone in attendance tonight. Father, ultimately, we want to glorify you in all that we do. So God, as we leave here, put people into our path that we can encourage, that we can lift up, Father, but also put people into our path that will encourage and lift us up. Father, I just thank you for all these things, and we just ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for being here. Hope you have a wonderful evening, and we will see you soon.